The following audio is from Emmanuel Baptist Church. More information about Emmanuel can be found at our website, myemmanuel.net.
Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up.
Amen. Yeah, clap for the band. It's my pleasure to introduce to you David
Wangaka.
I got it right the other two. Now I'm messing it up.
Wangaka.
Wangaka.
Yeah.
Yes. And we go way back to dinner yesterday night, and so we're longtime friends. He's from Kenya. He came up through the Compassion Program, went to college in Kenya, met his wife, who's from Oregon. They got married, came back to the States, got his master's in business administration from Louisiana State, and is currently working for Compassion, doing their planned giving. And he lives in Orlando, Florida, so he is cold.
So. You're right.
But he's got a great testimony, and he's going to share that with you, and I hope it impacts you. So give a warm welcome to David.
Amen. Thank you. So good morning. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, my name is David Wangaka, not Wakanda from the movie, but Wangaka. Most people call me Wakanda. I don't know why it's so hard to pronounce that last name, but I am so grateful and so thankful for God for the opportunity to be here and fellowship with you. So in Kenya, where I come from, we speak Swahili language, not Wakanda language, because actually there's no Wakanda there. It's Swahili. And in the morning, we always greet brothers and sisters when we get to church by saying Bwana Asifiwe, which means praise the Lord. I'm going to teach you a little bit of that, if that's okay. Say Bwana Asifiwe. Amen. That means praise the Lord. So if you ever got a chance to be in Kenya or in any of East African, that's the language they speak, you can just pretend you know the whole thing. And you can get, you can mix with the locals there. Amazing. So I'm so grateful for God for this opportunity to come and fellowship with you, share my story about what God has done in my life through the program of Compassion International as the means to get me out of extreme poverty. So I was one of those statistics you see on the TV about people who live under $1 a day. And that's real, actually. Mostly sometimes it's just a statistic, but when you meet someone who actually has lived through that, then it becomes real. It becomes like tangible and what we can do to help a little bit with that. You know, a small percentage, what can we do? You know, sometimes when you think about the world poverty issues that are happening, they're so magnitude and so overwhelming that we don't even do anything about it because we feel like, what am I really going to do with this huge mountain of needs? But the small part that we can play, we can still make a small difference. We can make a difference in the life of a child. We may not be able to change the whole world, but we can change a life or a world of a child if we are not able to do the whole world. But that one small child, they have their own world they are living in, and we can change that. We have that opportunity, just like someone did that in my life. Growing up, my mother used to raise 5 children all by herself. She used to work in a small restaurant where she was making less than $1 a day. And sometimes she would come home and she would bring some food from the restaurant. But unfortunately, that business went down and she had to look for something else to do. And so she started selling liquor. And she would make liquor at home, some kind of moonshine. I don't know how she came up with an idea, technology to do that, because she had not gone to school, but she was trying any means to survive with five children because we lived in a very small shack, 10 by 10 square feet. I remember most of the night. Actually, the other day when I went to visit Kenya, I went back to where I grew up in to see if the place still exists. It's still there. It was made of corrugated material, just shack. 10 by 10 square feet, we slept on the ground because beds could not fit. So during the day, we would use that place as a living area during the day, and then at night we would roll the cardboards, and we would sleep on cardboards. The other day I was just thinking about what compassion is all about. What is compassion? The word compassion. Sometimes when you hear about compassion all the time, we are so busy from thinking about how can we extend compassion to others. And compassion is the ability to empathize with others, to feel their pain, and to act with kindness and understanding. So when you look at Luke 10:33-34, it says, "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him." So when I was thinking about that verse, I was thinking about my own life and how someone saw me and did that for me. So when living in that extreme poverty, my mother, because of selling the liquor, she was in and out of jail most of the time. So even the money that she would make, she would use that money to bribe the police so that she's released and come home. And that life went that way until at some point it was so hard for her to survive and provide for basic needs. Sometimes we couldn't even have food to eat. We would go 2 or 3 days starving, no food, because she would save the little she had to pay for the rent for that house, which was $7 to $10. And sometimes the landlord, if she hasn't paid, they would lock the door with 2 padlocks so that we don't have access. So sometimes, the only means of survival for us to get food was going to the dump site. And we would just take sticks and we would try to find something to eat from the dumpster. And that's how life was for me for a long time. I thought that's how everyone lives. I had not been exposed to anything else. Was waking up in the morning before school, which was 5 miles away, walking on barefoot and going to the dumpster and finding something to eat. The greatest or the most impact, negative impact, or the profound impact of extreme poverty is the lack of access to health care and basic needs like running water and just basic stuff like food and that kind of stuff. That's what extreme poverty is all about. But when you think about extreme poverty and what we can do to be part of changing that, it's not just providing the resources, but it's actually giving resources in terms of giving hope. People who live in extreme poverty, sometimes all they need is hope. Because one thing I love about compassion, what compassion does is that it doesn't change this extreme poverty or children who live in extreme poverty like a microwave kind of solving the problem. It's a long-term thing that changes slowly as the child grows and provide this child with a different environment than the generation that has been there in the life of this or in the family of this child. And that's exactly what happened to me. So my mother one time was very sick. And I had seen so many children who would get sick and actually passed away because of lack of treatment for something that could have been treated, but they had no choice. When she got very sick, she was taken to hospital by her friend. And she got there, but unfortunately, it was too late. She had to show or guarantee payment before she's admitted. And so the next day, the lady came back home and gave us the most devastating news. I remember I was 7 years old when I was told, your mother did not make it. And your mother is not coming back home. She passed away. And the hope, the only hope we had was no more, was taken away. And I remember asking myself, wow, does God even exist? I could not feel the presence of God at that time. But one thing I knew for sure at some point is that no matter what sometimes we go through, God is still on his throne. Amen? Amen? He is God and he cannot be blamed because he has great plans for us no matter what the situation is. And every time we go through some challenges in life, there is an opportunity to see God in that. We cannot see God when everything is fine, when everything is going well. We only see God when things have reached the end. So we all dropped out of school. Now the problem with that was school and education was the only way, the only path that we had of escaping poverty, especially in most developing nations. Education is everything because that's the hope you have for the future. And I remember just being in the street and I was living with my grandmother by then, but my grandmother was taking care of other 16 kids, my cousins, whose parents, some of them parents had died of HIV and AIDS. And all those kids, we were all living together, plus the 5 children from now, my mom. And it was so hard for her. So I found myself, by the time I was 7, 8, I was a homeless child in the street of Nairobi, begging for food. I could see children go to school, and I would admire that. I would pray that one day God opened door for me. And I remember one time praying and asking God, God, if you get me out of this situation, I will follow you and I will worship you. And for some reason, I heard someone preach the gospel in the street. Sometimes when you go in the street of Nairobi, you'll hear people just, they have a speaker and a microphone and they're just preaching the word to whoever hears, whoever is, you know, walking around. And he was talking about the children of Israel and how we are all children of Israel. At that time, I could not feel like I was a child of God. But for some reason, God gave me that grace of trusting in him in that situation. And I could pray. And one time I was in the street and I decided, let me see if this God is real. And I'm walking in this street and it was a dirt street. And it was like off-roading kind of place. And I'm walking, I was starving. And that time when you're starving, that's when you start feel, you know, thinking and imagining of some delicious food. So I was just thinking about, oh, what if I have this delicious meal? And then in my mind, I remembered the pastor in the street was talking about God feeding the children of Israel with manna. And I had no idea what manna was, but I came to realize manna was some kind of bread that came from heaven. And I started praying because I'm just young and children are so innocent and God loves that innocence of a child, that faith where they know it's all about you, God. Just do whatever you want. I have no power. I have no strength to do anything. I just want you to do everything for me. And I was praying. I was asking God, God, you give children of Israel manna. And if you are real, I want to see that manna. So I started praying in faith. I'm 7 years old, just walking. I'm barefoot. I'm starving. I'm looking in heaven. I'm looking in the sky to see if the manna will just drop somewhere. And I have this hope, but nothing was happening. But there's something that happened that was very special that reminded me that every time we are going through something, he is just there with us, and we don't even realize it. So there was a truck behind me. This truck used to supply bread, loaves of bread, to different kiosks in the area, small shops. So they passed me. So the road was very rough. And while I'm still praying, bread started falling off this truck. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. What amazing. I didn't really expect you to actually answer this prayer. So I'm just, you know, collecting all this bread. I have all these loaves of bread. I'm like, I did not steal because the truck went. I could not have, you know. So I'm having this, all these loaves of bread. I'm like, wow. Man, I ate so much bread that day. I could not even breathe. So the rest, I took it to my friends in the street and gave them because manna used to get bad if you don't finish it. So I wasn't selfish, so I shared with my friends in the street. And that showed me, wow. That was so powerful that he showed me, kid, I'm here with you. And I remember one time, this is where my life started changing. While I was in the street, I lived in the street from the time I was 7 to around when I was 9 years old. And that's when my life changed, because this young man who saw me in the dumpster, on the dump site, he came to me. And that's why I like that verse where the Samaritan person saw this person who needed help. And without thinking about what tribe, what nationality, and what where they come from. In Kenya, we have different tribes, which is different languages. And sometimes there is a lot of differences. Just like the Samaritan and this person that needed help. And he came towards me. And he wasn't from my tribe, but he was interested in me. That was the first person ever asked me, what's your name? And I was like, wow, why does he want? No one cares when you're in the street. When you go to developing nation, you'll see children living in the street. Most governments don't have government programs for children or for the need. If you're poor, you are on your own. You are alone. There's no hope. And so I introduced myself to him, and then he asked me, would you like to go to school? Would you like to come with me and I will help you with school? I really needed to go back to school and have that hope of the future. So he took me to church. I had no idea this church was partnering with Compassion International. Compassion does not have compassion signs anywhere. So you just go to a church. So we are in the church. I thought it was a feeding program because there were so many other children around running. It was so clear. So the photos that you were seeing in the beginning of the service, that's how the children are. They are dressed very well. And he gave me clothes, new clothes, got the clothes that I had from the street, throw them away, and he gave me shoes, new shoes. For a long time, probably for like almost 10 years, I had not worn shoes, like normal shoes. Actually, it was strange for me. Probably my feet were like, what are you doing to me? You know, like he gave me shoes, and then this is what happened. He gave me shoes that were kind of bigger sizes, but I didn't want to tell him because I didn't want him to take them back and tell me to wait for them, for the sizes. So I just put things inside and I was like, it's good. Absolutely. Do they fit? Yes, they do. They fit so well. I love them. Actually, I sometimes prefer a little bit bigger, so this is fine. But it wasn't. So, but I really needed shoes. But one thing I learned about that was this. Compassion International, through the faith, and this is what I took from, and this is why I appreciate them so much. They protect the dignity of children. You cannot tell a child who is living in extreme poverty when they're in the program of compassion. Because even when they take photos of children, they don't take photos of malnourished child who looks sick with, you know, like some things we see on TV, so that you feel pity for them and you feel sorry for them and then you are coerced to help them. No, they just take a normal, nice, good-looking photo of a child so that whenever you are actually sponsoring them, you're not just sponsoring them out of obligation, but out of love. And so that was so powerful for me that they protected that, the dignity of that young boy from the street, and someone picked that packet of information of that child and sponsored me, probably from a church or from an event somewhere. So we would come to this church every once a week and we would eat some good balanced food, balanced diet food. There would be like nurses and doctors and dentists that would be there volunteering, check on our health and that kind of stuff. So that I had like this confidence that what, even the diseases and whatever took my mom's life could not get me, that I was so safe. So it's all about that safety. So God used compassion to give that safety net. But something was missing. I was waiting to find one day, because when you are living in extreme poverty and you are almost rejected all the time, I still could not believe this was it. Like my life was really changing. My life was started like now. I started believing it when I was told that someone picked my packet of information and decided to sponsor me. And they wrote to me. So Compassion staff would come with a bunch of letters, a stack of letters. They would start calling out names. The kids would run on stage. They would pick the letter, and then would go back there, sit down, start reading, and they would keep those letters very well somewhere in a plastic bag back home and protect it. And that's why sometimes when you write to your child, you ask them a question, sometimes they don't answer those questions because the letter is so well kept somewhere that they can't remember what you asked. So it's letter writing day, they just write whatever. And you've seen that. And sometimes people call Compassion, why is he not answering my... Because they are protecting that letter like something precious. They don't even keep opening it because it's somewhere. But when I received that letter and opened it, I saw the photos of my sponsors. It was so beautiful and amazing because that gave me assurance. Wow, it's like a stamp. Your life has changed. This is it now, David. Relax. Life is good. And they told me, David, we love you. And they said that it's an honor for us to sponsor you. It's an honor for us for you to be in our life. No one had ever given me that kind of dignity or that kind of love before. Like saying it's an honor to meet you or it's an honor for you to be in my life. That gave me so much confidence knowing that, oh, someone cares for me. And I remember them saying, I love you. Even my mom could not say, I love you, because we were surviving. There was no time for sentiment. It was all about like survival. And I know she loved us so much because of the things she would do and the sacrifices she would make. But when I read those words, like, I love you, that was so powerful for me. And they said, we have a picture of you smiling on the refrigerator. I had no idea what the refrigerator was, but it was okay. Like, someone was praying for me, and my Compassion translator would translate the letter, and they would tell us, oh, this is what they mean. And it was so beautiful. You know, I would see them with their dogs inside the house. I was wondering, what's the dog doing in the house? It was good to be exposed to a different life and different culture, you know, and learn about... It helps you also, like, become generous. Because someone is sacrificing the little they have for you, you also become generous automatically. And when you come to this church, these people are so loving, the Compassion staff, most of them volunteers, and they would just love on you. They know your name. And we have a number, like your sponsored child, if you are sponsoring right now, they have a specific number that, you know, the time they were registered in the program, the country they are in, and that kind of stuff. And it's a very long number. And some of this staff would know your name, the full name, and those full number. You know, sometimes when you're jumping around and they're calling your name, you can't hear, they just mention the number, you're like, oh, that's me. And it's so beautiful to see that when you love someone so much, even physically, they change physically. You know, like within a month, people could not recognize me again because of that environment that I was in. And I had the opportunity to go back to school. And I remember being in school and wearing school uniform, and that built that confidence. I graduated from college in the University of Nairobi with a political science and international relations degree. And I was the first person in my entire generation, in my family, to ever graduate, not just college, but actually middle school. No one had graduated, had gone to school in my entire generation. I was the first one to break that chain of poverty because the opportunity that I got, that sponsor who said, yes, let me sponsor this young man, they probably didn't know what a great impact they were doing. Sometimes it seems so little from our own eyes, but it's so huge that God multiplies it in his own ways. And I graduated there, and I started working in Kenya, and I remember that chain of poverty being broken because now my brothers and my sisters and their children, no one know about poverty anymore. And something special that happened was Compassion coming to that church. My brothers and sisters started coming to that church because we're like, our brother's life is changing in front of our eyes. What's wrong? What is this church? So they started coming there, and they realized what a community. What I love, that's how, church is not actually the building, it's the people. And the community of people, that have been called by God, people that know that everything that they have belongs to God, and they share together, they love one another, they pray for one another, we sing together, fellowship. My brother started being in the choir. He stopped. He was a colic. He stopped that. He joined the choir. But something so special happened. My dad, who was not in the picture when I was growing up, we were reconciled together through the program of compassion, because he started coming to that church and gave his life to Jesus, joined the men's fellowship. Even though he went to be with the Lord, I know I will meet him in heaven, and his life had already been transformed tremendously. So just one act of sponsoring one child, or just giving, extending that love and that grace to one child, really changed the entire generation. And I was so blessed enough one time when I came to the U.S. and my sponsor, who sponsored me through college, I always go to visit her. She lives in Portland, Oregon. And she sacrificed a lot. She was going through health issues, but she told me one time that, you know, I could relate with you. Yes, my issue was health, but you was more than that. And so I could relate. And so that's why I would sacrifice the small social security I would get and sponsor you and other children through college, which was such a big blessing. And every time I call her, it's just so amazing to see how God connects people, because she doesn't have, her own biological children. It's only me. I didn't have parents, so God kind of connected us in such a beautiful way. When I go to her place with my children, who calls her grandmother, they call her Shosh. Shosh is a slang language in Kenya, meaning grandma, and the kids are running around and just helping her with gardening. It's just so beautiful to see how real and how amazing the kingdom of God can become. Amen. I was blessed to know how to love people and be able to meet my wife. I met my wife in Kenya, and we are blessed with four boys. My oldest is Shalom. Second born is Amani. Those names mean peace in Swahili. Very cool names, yeah. But when I got to the third one, I couldn't think of a name in the hospital, and they were rushing me, so I just called him David. Just something, just something. And then there is the last born, Israel. So Shalom and Amani, I was just calling them this beautiful, prophetic, peaceful name, thinking they are going to be so peaceful in the house, but they are not. That house is not peaceful at all, but it's a blessing. But one thing is, if I would not have been released from extreme poverty, these guys here would have been born in extreme poverty, and that generation of poverty would have continued forever. But because of that obedience of God, my sponsor saying, you know, let me just sponsor this young man. They never knew what an impact that was. So I just wanted to say thank you for each and every person that's sponsoring a child, and those that will be sponsoring children today. One thing that I wanted to mention is that sometimes these children, today was Sunday, sometimes the children, they meet on Sunday and they pray for us. They pray for our sponsors. They pray that God bring someone. God, help me get sponsored today. And I pray that we will be the answer to that. You know, sometimes, like one day, I sponsor children also all over the world, and some of them are in the same place where I was sponsored, the same church. And the other child I sponsored recently, my fifth child, I had a packet of information on stage. I was speaking in a church, and then I forgot about it, and so I took it home with me. And I asked my wife, "Oh man, I forgot to return this child, and I'm praying about sponsoring." And my wife was like, "You're praying about sponsoring a child? Sponsor the child. Why are you praying for it? Like, you're supposed to sponsor. You know, God already wants you to sponsor that child." So I was like, "Oh, okay, thank you. Let's do it." You know, and God has always provided for us. For some reason, there is that divine connection that God provides divinely. Somehow, God has multiplied in our lives, and we are extending that grace to other people. We live in Orlando, my wife and I, we are operator owner of, I don't know if you've heard of Dutch Bro Coffee. We do that there, but we also have like a ministry within that where we are able to, you know, kind of share our love to the staff and explain, you know, kind of change their lives in terms of being generous and changing other people's life. And that has been such a blessing to see people coming and asking questions about what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? What impact can I make? And they also supporting other ministry back in Kenya and India and China. So it has been such a blessing, even having this opportunity to be here today. And so the last verse I would like to read is that the Colossians 3:12. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So I would like to leave you with that verse and say, today you can join in the mission of God, sponsor another child if you are still sponsoring. If you have never sponsored a child, just do it today, and not out of obligation, but out of the love of God and making disciple of all nations. And you will be making disciple without even leaving your own country. Amen. So let me pray for us, and then we can close. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity and this day. Thank you for such beautiful family here in this Emmanuel Baptist Church. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to hear about what you are doing and giving us the opportunity to join you in your mission of making disciples all over the world. And we pray that, Lord, you will be with us and you'll continue being with us, Lord. Whatever each and every person is going through here, our normal life challenges that we face, Father, we thank you because your hand is on our shoulder and you are comforting us, you are loving on us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for even the opportunity for us to get here, the resources that you have given us for us to get here to hear your word. We worship you today. May your name be glorified. May your name be magnified, Lord, today. Father, as we face the next week, Father, we pray that you will be with us. We pray for the sick people. We pray for them that are depending on you and believing in you in different ways. Father, we pray that, Lord, you will be glorified in their lives and that you will meet their needs. We also pray for all the children that are in the Compassion Program around the world. Father, protect them and provide for them. Thank you for opening opportunities for them, and thank you for your hope. Thank you for dying on the cross for us, and thank you for your selfless love and kindness. We pray and believe in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Would you express your appreciation to David?
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to talk about a loving Heavenly Father who loves a 7-year-old Kenyan boy so much. The boy would hear a street preacher preach a sermon about manna, and in the simple faith, a boy without a mom or a dad living on the street would say, I want you to be my father. If you're really there, send me manna. And he sends a bread truck. That's how much God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's how much God loves every child on the planet. Children who are the victim of sex trafficking and abuse, and those that are stuck in poverty. This morning, if I were to say, you know, we were going to send David to Kenya and he and his family, and we're going to set him up as missionaries, it would cost $100,000 to do that. That'd take a big sacrifice for us to do that. But that's not what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to consider sponsoring a child. It's $43 a month. I just put the calculator to it. It's $1.43 a day. That's not really a sacrifice for you. You can do that. It's $1.43 a day. Think about this. In a third world country, $1.43 can give a child a balanced nutritional food so they're not starving, can give them medical and dental benefits, not benefits, but can care for them. It can give them an education. And most of all, it points them to Jesus. Several years ago, when I was with Wes Stafford, the former president of Compassion, I asked him, I said, what's the percentage of the number of kids who give their lives to the Lord? And he goes, you know, I don't really know. He said, and I don't want to exaggerate, but he said, I can tell you for sure, it's 75%. And he said, it's probably more like 90%, but I know for sure it's 75%. Imagine this. For $1.43 a day, you have a 75 to 90% chance of seeing that child in heaven one day when you arrive there. It's actually more than that. Did you hear the part where David said, because of him, because of the intervention in his life, all of his extended family are saved and all of them are out of poverty? I mean, this dear lady, you saw her picture and she helped him all the way through college. This dear lady sponsored one child, but through him, the whole extended family are going to be in heaven. For $1.43 a day, what if I told you right now, 20 people would be in heaven for eternity for $1.43 a day? Wouldn't you take that deal every day? And so today we're going to give you that opportunity. On the tables on Main Street, you're going to find packets that look like this. And a lot of them are Ecuador and Sri Lanka because we're really trying to get every kid in certain communities. But you can find them there. There's a QR code right here. My phone is a smartphone, but I'm not a smart guy. I don't really know how to do this, but they showed me how I hovered my camera mode over this. It took me straight to Compassion website. I signed up in 2 minutes, tops, 2 minutes tops, signed up for Janeth. And long ago, as a young pastor, I really decided that I would never ask you to do something that I don't do. So Patrice and I, this is our fifth. Makes me sound super spiritual, right? Except that not for $1.43 a day. It's not really a sacrifice. And just like David said, I've never done anything for the Lord that the Lord didn't give me tenfold back. I don't run out of money. He gives me everything that I need. And he cares for you. And this is your chance to invest in eternity. If you've got the time, if you don't have to run straight to lunch, there are also virtual reality headsets where you can go in the village of, it's a Brazilian village. You should do it. It's really, really cool. And if you're older here, you should do it because then your grandkids will think you're the coolest ever if you've done virtual reality anything. So you should do that. That's available for you. These packets are available for you. I want to encourage you to make this step. I think everybody in the room can do it. I think even if you've done it and you're like, well, I've done it before. I'm up to two or three. Maybe like Patrice and I, you could go like, yeah, I can still manage $1.43 and change the life of a child just like David's life as well. Well, I want to encourage you in that today. I know God will bless you. Hey, let me just tell you a fun story. Can I just tell you one fun story and I'll be done? So we had a man who was sitting right about there at 9:30. He's been attending for a little while. David came out. I didn't know David was going to be here today. David came out and he spoke. And then his name is Caleb. Caleb caught David back over here. And turns out Caleb's from Kenya. And he said, I just wanted to talk Swahili to somebody today. That's a pretty great divine appointment, isn't it? And so then they talked Swahili and I stood there like this. And it was a pretty cool divine story. God's got ways, right? He's got ways, whether it's a bread truck or whether you're in a very white church in Billings, Montana, and God sends you a Kenyan brother. God's got a way. He loves you. He cares about you. Be a part of that. Will you stand? Let's worship together.
Thank you for listening to audio from Emmanuel Baptist Church, located in Billings, Montana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Emmanuel, please visit us online at myemmanuel.net.